Bible, turn to John chapter 14 if you would. John 14. Last week we started talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, getting to know the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about really the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And let me just kind of give you a kind of a quick review from last week, and the sermon's online if you didn't catch it. But here, let me just give you these reminders. In John 14 verse 16, look right there at that verse to start with. I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another helper. He will give you another helper. I shared with you last week by way of introduction three introductions to the person of the Holy Spirit. Number one, I told you he was a person. He is a person. He is a person, meaning he's not just a power or an inanimate force, that he has personality, that he is a real being. All right? I told you, I kind of used the illustration from Star Wars that the Holy Spirit isn't just some type of force like the Jedi's had, where they could just throw stuff across the room. The Holy Spirit is a real being, all right? A real person. Not a human person, but a real person, nevertheless. I also told you how the Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is God. That word another there, it means an identical another. It is the same another. The Holy Spirit is God. And I spent a good bit of time talking about the Trinity, how God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I know that is a hard concept to get into our brains, for us to get our hands around, to get our heads around. But nevertheless, it is true. And I showed you this graphic right here, this picture, this illustration that's a very famous depiction of how to understand the Trinity. And I want you to know that the Trinity, it is critical to our understanding of who God is, even though we may not be able to understand it. Like, I don't totally understand infinity. I have never experienced what it means to be omnipotent or omnipresent, present everywhere, or omniscient, all-knowing, but nevertheless, God is. And it's hard for me to understand what it means for God to be Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one. Doesn't really compute in our heads, but nevertheless, it is how God has revealed himself to us. The Holy Spirit is God. And we see here in the Bible in verse 16 that it says that he will be with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he'll be in you. Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is God in you. We talked about how we, the Bible tells us that we are the temples of God. God's Holy Spirit is in you. You know what? This is hard to compute for other world religions. This is hard to compute for other folks who are worshiping different places and in different ways today. I'll give you an illustration. It's from her autobiography. She's the third daughter of Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz, Eliasa Shabazz. Ms. Shabazz talks in her memoirs about what it was like. Obviously, most of the time, she went to the mosque with Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz, her parents. But she said every now and then, she would spend the weekend with her grandparents in Philadelphia. And they would take her to the Friendship Baptist Church. And she writes in her autobiography about what it was like, to see the people praying and testifying and singing and clapping their hands. And she talks about how she wished that she could have had that power and that force in her life, that she could know that spirit in her life that they had within them. She said that though she never felt and experienced that power, that she never lost the hope for it. It's interesting if you look at the teachings of Islam. In Islam teaches that there is another helper. It actually teaches that it's Muhammad. Now, if you really look at that, that's not a good interpretation of what John chapter 14 is saying here. It doesn't compute on the fact of what Jesus was teaching, and doesn't even compute really with Islam, because Islam has never communicated or never has said that Muhammad was God and is part of the Trinity. They don't even have the concept of God being in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we see that it doesn't compute for other religions, but you need to know this. This is absolutely essential for our Christian faith. This is absolutely how God has revealed himself to us. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is God in you. Today, I want you to know this isn't just something that you just have to kind of hope for, but you can know. You can know and experience God personally, his presence in your life. I want you to know that today. So look with me. I want to just kind of give you an introduction in a word to who the Holy Spirit is. Look right there in chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. It's the word helper. Some translations call it counselor. Some call it comforter. We call it even encourager, or one person called it friend. My translation says, he is your helper. I will send you another helper. In the Greek language, it was the word parakletos. You could translate it into English as the word paraclete. Now, let me tell you what the word means. Paraclete, it's really two root words put together. The word cleat comes from kletos, which means to call someone. The word para means alongside. You have a paralegal, that's a person who works alongside a lawyer. But let me give you the illustration that really helped me to understand the ministry of the paraclete. I think of a paramedic. I think of a paramedic, and I think about how a paramedic is someone who, when you're in your time of need, when you need help, when you need strengthening, when you need counseling, when you need comforting, when you need that support, you call them, and they come alongside you, and they're there to rescue. This is come home to us very clear in Jennifer and my life as parents. Twice we've had to call the rescue squad, and both times it was for the same child, our oldest child. I remember the first time she was 1 year old. We hadn't started this church yet. We were still living in Colonial Heights, and I remember she had awakened from her nap. She was running a little bit of a temperature, and so Jennifer had sent me to CVS because we were out of Advil or Motrin, whatever it is, and I went to pick it up for the baby, and as I'm coming back to the house, I noticed that my neighbor, who's a police officer there in the city, he pulls up behind me, and he says, Brian, he said, we just got a 911 call from your house. So we rushed into the house, and there I see a sight I'll never soon forget. My wife is on the telephone holding our one-year-old. She's on the phone talking to the 911 dispatcher, and there the baby, I can look at, she has a look I've never seen on her face. She had this stone-cold stare out into space. Her body was limp and non-responsive. I went and I took the baby in my arms. I went and sat on the couch, and I remember the officer, he came and sat next to me, and I remember I kept looking at him, pleading with him, please call them. Please call the paramedics. How long is it going to take? And I remember he would reach up every now and then on his radio, and he would radio, what's your ETA? And as he could see the situation a little more often, every now and then, it was only 5 minutes, probably felt like an eternity, every now and then he would, what's your ETA? What's your ETA? You know, he kept asking that over and over again, trying to see, and they were giving him some type of response. And I remember I just wanted someone to come and help. Fast forward. She's now older. She knows how to swim. She begins to climb the high dive, which she'd done hundreds of times. All of a sudden, I hear a gasp from others at the pool. I look back, and there she is. She's fallen from the 3-meter board onto a pad and concrete there on the pool deck. The paramedics are called, and I can remember sitting there looking at her, trying to keep her still because she had a scrape on her spine. And we didn't know what that was going to turn out to be. But praise the Lord, she turned out fine. Sent home from the hospital that night. But I remember, I want someone to come alongside of me now. I want some help. I want someone who knows what to do in this situation. Where are the paramedics? Well, Jesus could look out at his disciples and he could see the concern on their faces. He was telling them, he had been telling them that he was getting ready to leave them. He was getting ready to be arrested. He was getting ready to go and give his life for us on the cross. And he tells them, he says, listen, don't be troubled. I'm going to send another helper. I'm going to send a paraclete. He is going to come and he's going to be your helper, your encourager, your comforter, your counselor. And what you're going to see in the next few pages of Scripture today, what I want you to see is I want you to see the power, the purpose, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, because I want you to know he comes alongside. He comes, Jesus even says, even better than not just alongside you, but ultimately to be in you. I want to pray today that you will get four very real encouragements from these words of Scripture and see how God's Holy Spirit works in your life. So let's just kind of yield right here in the middle of the sermon and let me just commit this to the Lord and ask God to help each and every one of you. Whether you're a boy or girl, whether you're a teenager in middle school, high school, man or woman, I pray you'll get this day and understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. Father, I pray you'll move among us. Help us to understand how you, Holy Spirit, want to work in our lives. And may we be encouraged today. May we know your purpose in our lives. And may we be changed forever and ever and ever and never forget what you mean to do in and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's the first thing I want you to write down, the first encouraging effect of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. The Holy Spirit assures us as God's children. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, remember this. Catch this. The disciples are gathered there. Now, they give testimony in Scripture. They had left their homes. They had left their businesses. They had left their communities to minister with Jesus, to serve with Jesus for now 3 years. Now Jesus looks at them. He says, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going back to the Heavenly Father. And of course, they are feeling a little bit abandoned. They're nervous. They're concerned about this situation. And Jesus tells them this. Look at verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. The Greek language in the New Testament, actually the word is orphanos. We translate it orphans. It literally means someone who is fatherless, someone who is alone. Maybe you have known someone who's been an orphan. We have a number of children in this church who've been adopted. They know what it is to have been left fatherless. Maybe you know what it's like to feel alone or find yourself in a situation where you feel like you don't have a friend and you just find yourself all alone. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you that way. Remember Jesus said, Jesus goes on to say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. Jesus saying, listen, in a little bit, I'm going to go to that cross and I'm going to be buried. I'm going to come back to life and then I'm going to go to the Father. But he says this, he says, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Verse 20, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They're talking about on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was going to come to dwell within them. It's interesting to understand that the Holy Spirit had been with them. The Holy Spirit had worked in their lives. The Holy Spirit had been with them. But he tells them there's going to come a day, and that day has already come, friend, when the Holy Spirit is going to not just be with you, the Holy Spirit is going to actually be in you. And listen, though, to the language of how he talks to them. He talks to them as such a close friend. Just listen to this language, guys. As students, I can't help but think about many of you. You find yourselves in situations, you find yourself in a culture where oftentimes you may feel, as a follower of Christ, you may find yourself at times feeling alone. Dear sir, you may find yourself working in an environment that you would, and this would be kind, describe as godless. And you may feel awfully alone. Dear lady, you may find yourself at times working there and you may feel alone. And Jesus says, listen to what he says, you're never alone. Listen to what he says in verse 21. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, who would betray Jesus, says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus says, listen, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and the Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Catch that language there. Jesus has talked about his Father. Jesus has talked about our love for him and his love for us. And now he talks about us being at home with the Father. This is a picture of our relationship with the Lord. This is a picture that we're not lone rangers, and we're not freelancers, and we're not alone. Understand this. We are the very children of God. We are the family of God, and he doesn't leave us nor forsake us. You are never, ever alone. You know what? We sit here in the suburbs. we sit here and we know what it's like to go to a high school football game on Friday night and there's crowds of people and people parked in the road and the street and all that. We know what it's like for the most part to probably have some friends at work. We know what it's like to go to school and eat with somebody at the school cafeteria. We know what it's like to go to the pool in the summer and hang out and wave at some friends. And we know what it's like to have a church family. We know what it's like to be in a Bible study group, in a small group, to have fellowship. And so sometimes the power of this encouragement can be lost on us. Because the reality is this, is after this service, you'll either go out to eat or you'll probably go home and you'll eat with somebody. But if I were saying these words right now out on a secluded farm in China, or maybe in Beijing itself, or maybe in the capital of some Arabian Muslim country where the name of Jesus isn't even allowed to be uttered, folks right now, listen, they would be on the edge of their seat. They would be nudging up a little bit more on the floor, listening, going, wait a minute. Are you saying we really aren't alone? Are you saying we really aren't God forsaken? Are you really saying that God puts His Holy Spirit within us to assure us that we're His children? In fact, the Bible tells us. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he tells them, he says, listen, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have been given the Holy Spirit to serve as a guarantee to you that you're a child of God. Folks, we ought never, ever to take it for granted that the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to give us assurance that we are God's children. You know, we need to not take that for granted with each other either. It's interesting here in this part of the Bible, when you read the word you over and over and over again there in the English, you'll read that, maybe you just think about you and like me in the singular. It is in the plural. The idea here isn't that the Holy Spirit is just given to you personally, but it's the Holy Spirit is given to us. It's given to us as the family of God. It's given to us as what is known as the church. The church isn't just some vague institution that you can say, well, I want to be a part of that or I don't want to be a part of that. No, listen, we are the people of God. We are His fellowship. We are His family. We are the ones whom he has called out to be His salt and light in this world. You see, church isn't just something like a club like you sign up for and you say, well, you know, do I want to go today or do I not want to go today? It's not just an event you attend like a football game. Understand this, we are the family of God. We are the children of God. And Jesus is saying, listen, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give Him to you. I'm going to put Him in you. We might say, like in the South, we might say y'all or you all. See, the Holy Spirit is given to assure you that you are God's children. Don't ever forget that. And we're His children. We're His family. We ought to not only just celebrate that, but let's not forget who we are towards each other. We're children of the same Father. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an assurance that we're God's children. But you know, God wants His children to know what His will is for them and what His desire is for them. And that's why Jesus goes on. Jesus says, knowing the Holy Spirit is going to be an encourager to you and assure you that you're God's children, He's going to be your teacher. Look down with me, down in verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. And He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. You know, God wants us to be at peace. God wants us to know His promises. God wants us to have confidence in this life. So here's a second encouragement. Not only does the Holy Spirit assure us as God's children, but the Holy Spirit blesses us with God's truth. Blesses us with God's truth. You know, I love this picture of the Holy Spirit being our teacher. You know, the whole purpose of teachers, the idea there behind teachers and educators is to help us to grow, to help us to mature, to help us to know better how to have a useful life. You know, I think about the first teacher that comes to my mind this morning. I think about my second grade teacher, Mrs. Jackson. I think about Mrs. Jackson. I remember going to her classroom, and Mrs. Jackson in the second grade year became a very pivotal year for me. And you'll probably be shocked by this, and you would be appalled by this if this happened to your own kids perhaps, but I did not know how to read when I entered the second grade. There's kids out there now. They start kindergarten how to read. I didn't know how to read. And my parents would tell you, evidently, you know, the teachers I had for kindergarten and first grade, particularly in first grade, they just either weren't tracking it, and it just really was never communicated. That was just kind of, quote, passed along. And in second grade, Mrs. Jackson looked at this. She said, this is crazy. We have a 7-year-old second grader who cannot read. My parents were young. And they'll tell you they perhaps should have been more engaged, what have you. But I remember Ms. Jackson. Ms. Jackson said, "Brian, we got to work on this." I remember she took me down the hallway to another first grade class with a different first grade teacher than I'd had. And I remember I sat down at a little round table, little chair, with little first graders around me. As a second grader, I was a little bit bigger than them. I remember I thought the whole year, by the way, that I was helping them learn to read. Didn't realize it, that the first graders at my table were actually helping me to learn how to read. But I remember Mrs. Jackson, her wanting to teach me and wanting me to learn, wanting me to grow and wanting me to mature. The Holy Spirit's like that. I can remember when I got my report card the last day of second grade, I was so proud because I opened it up, and for the first time ever, I looked under reading, and it said reading at grade level. Didn't dawn on me as a seven-year-old that when that school day ended, I was now going to be in third grade, and the very first day of school, I would be back to reading below grade level. Because on the last day of second grade, that was my first day of reading second grade material. But I remember towards the end of fifth grade, right before middle school, I remember one of the leaders at the middle school I was going to go to, she contacted my parents. She said, we've been monitoring, we've been studying Brian's progress. And we think that he needs to be challenged more. So we'd like you to bring down here, we'd like to run a few tests on him. And the reading teacher and the folks there at the middle school, they did some testimony, and they said, you know what, you need to be challenged more than you are. We actually think you should be reading at above grade level. See, the Holy Spirit seeks to be our teacher, and the Holy Spirit sometimes, the Holy Spirit will help us at the remedial level. The Holy Spirit, though, sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to challenge you as your teacher, going to challenge you with the truths of God's Word. I remember Mr. Klein, he was my seventh grade teacher, and I can remember Mr. Klein, I don't remember much what he taught me about English or math or whatever, but I remember he could palm a basketball, and that was a big deal to me as a 12-year-old. I remember Mr. Klein, he could palm that basketball, and I still remember this day. Every now and then he would look at us as 12-year-olds and he'd say, you know what, when you're 18, what you're worried about right now at the middle school dance isn't going to be a big deal. And I remember some of the wisdom he imparted. That's how the Holy Spirit teaches us. It's so interesting when you look here how the Holy Spirit blesses us with teaching. The Holy Spirit blesses us with God's truth. I want you to see this. It says here, Jesus says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now listen, if you want to remember something, if you want someone to remember something, what would you do? I tell you, you do it all the time. You make grocery lists. You make lists of what you need at Walmart. You make lists of your to-do list. Tomorrow morning, you'll make a list at work, probably of what you've got to do. Last Wednesday, I woke up, and there were some notes waiting for me that had been written. When I came downstairs, here it is. Recycling goes out today. Recycling goes out today. Recycling goes out today. Recycling goes out today. Four notes written to me because I am the one in charge of making sure recycling goes out today. And I asked my oldest daughter, whom I knew this was her handwriting, I said, why the notes and why four of them? She said, because Mom wants to make sure you don't forget that today is recycling day. Now, how I could have forgotten, I don't know, because when you walk in the garage, there were stacks of recycling waiting for me. But we write it down. You know what God has done in His Word through the Holy Spirit? He's blessed us with His written truth right here. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. Turn the page over to chapter 16, because Jesus mentions this again. Remember, Jesus is teaching and speaking orally. So every now and then he would repeat something for extra emphasis. You might would underline it. You might would write it four times where Jesus says it, and it's written in God's Word basically twice here. Look in chapter 16. Look down at verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Let me say a word here about God's Word. Let me say a word here about the Bible, God's truth. There are some out there who have, and this actually came as a question to me the other month from one of our folks here. There are some folks out there teaching, some even consider themselves Christian leaders. They're saying this. They're saying that actually the words of Jesus you take more seriously than the other words in the Bible. You know, maybe you have a Bible like this. My Bible is not one of these. Maybe you have like a red letter Bible. And you look and say, well, those are the words of Jesus right there. I'm going to really listen to those. And the rest of it is just God's kind of general Bible. I want you to think about something. I read an article this week, and the guy said, I'm waiting for an honest red-letter Bible. Now, stay tuned here. There are folks out there saying, well, you know, if Jesus didn't say anything about it, it must not have been that big a deal. And actually, you know, what Jesus said here, we're going to take over what Peter wrote and what Paul wrote. You need to listen to this. You need to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. This is where the rubber hits the road, folks. We're living in a day and age, and it's not the first time it's happened, but we're living in it right now, where God's word is being challenged, and some of them are calling themselves Christians. Some of them are calling themselves theologians and professors in certain schools, and they're saying, hey, listen, this is the way you ought to understand the Bible. Listen to me, students. Listen to me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Breathed out by God. I taught you last week that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said that he didn't come to take away from this book but came to add to it. Understand this. Understand me here. The Bible, every last word of it is inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit illuminates it in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. That means what when Peter speaks and when Peter writes God's word, along with the other apostles and the other prophets, he is speaking the words of the Spirit. And where the Spirit is speaking, Jesus is speaking. The Bible says right here, and it's probably in red letters if you have that type of Bible. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus said in chapter 14, he will bring to your remembrance. He will prompt you to remember what I have said to you. Understand this. When you read a portion of the Bible that's in black letter, maybe instead of red letter, understand this, it has the very same authority as if Jesus were to come walking through one of these walls right now and stare you dead right in the face and tell you something. God's Word. Listen, that's why I encourage you to be in a Bible study, and that's why I encourage you to get your copy of God's Word, because listen, right from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the last amen at the end of the book of Revelation, this is God's Word. And understand that. Don't ever forget that. The Holy Spirit blesses us with God's truth. But the Holy Spirit does something else that I want you to see. Holy Spirit does something. You begin to hear Jesus say this at the end of chapter 15. Verse 26 of chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, listen to this, he says, he will bear witness. He will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. And he goes on, Jesus goes on to tell them that they're going to experience some tough times. You know, there are going to be some times, if you truly, truly are standing for God's truth, that the Holy Spirit has blessed you with, there are going to be some times where everybody is not going to stand up and give you a standing ovation. There are going to be times when people aren't going to necessarily stand up and say, hey, listen, why don't you come sit next to me today? But here's the third encouragement I want you to know. The Holy Spirit involves us in God's mission. The Holy Spirit involves us in Christ's mission. You see, we are called to work for the Lord and be a witness for the Lord. We're told right here that Jesus says, you're also to bear witness. But I want you to see, look down at verse 7 of chapter 16. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Why is it to our advantage, Jesus? He says, I will send him to you. You know, did you get that? He doesn't say, I will send him to work in your school by himself. He says, I will send him to you. Don't miss this, because you know what? There have been times in my life I've said, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll work on my neighbor's life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in that school. Holy Spirit, I pray that you work in my friend's life. But here's what the Holy Spirit isn't Casper the Friendly Ghost who's just going to go around and haunt somebody into believing in Jesus. That's not what the Bible describes. The Bible here tells us that Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to come in you. So just as Jesus himself had a body that he ministered in and through during those 3 years of his ministry, the Holy Spirit works through the body of Christ right now. And the body of Christ is us. So understand, the Holy Spirit works in and through us. The Holy Spirit works in and through us as we share God's Word. That's what you see in the book of Acts. When the Holy Spirit comes upon and fills Peter, what do you see? You see, before you see people just falling out believing in Jesus, you see Peter stand up and tell them about Jesus. He bears witness. See, understand the partnership. We work and we witness. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Convinces and convicts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You see, what we do, we reach out, we invite, we invest in, and we introduce our friends to Jesus. We bring them to Jesus. It's up to the Spirit of God to work in their life, to convict them, and to convince them to put their faith and trust in Him. That monkey's off your back, friend. That monkey's off your back. But you know, less than 2% of Christians surveyed said they've ever even invited someone to go to church with them. You know what that means? Someone told me the other week. They said this. They said, that means on like a friend day, if just 3% of the congregation were to invite somebody and bring them, boom, you've already seen more people involved in the mission of God. Just look at the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit's going to work if we will just partner and allow Him to work in and through us. Look, take your Bible. Look with me at verse 8 of chapter 16. I'll pick back up there. Now he's going to send him to you, he says. In verse 8, he says, now when he comes, this is what he's going to do. He's going to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, what's he going to do? Concerning sin, it says, because they don't believe in him. Jesus says, because they don't believe in me. Understand this. You know what ultimately, you know what the ultimate sin is? The ultimate sin isn't sassing your mama. The ultimate sin isn't breaking curfew. The ultimate sin isn't cheating on your taxes. All those things are things we ought not to do. You know what the ultimate sin is? John chapter 3 reinforces this. The ultimate sin is not believing in who Jesus is. Jesus says, you know what? That's what it's going to convict them of, that they don't believe in me. It's going to convict them of the righteousness of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. You see that next in the list here in verse 10. You see, people get convicted of the fact of Jesus' righteousness. You see, it's not always popular. It's not always easy for folks to hear that that they're a sinner and that they need saving by the Lord. But we trust the Holy Spirit to do the convincing and the convicting. We do the inviting and the investing and the introducing. That's our role as witnesses. He says, and you can trust the Holy Spirit to convict them that the prince of this world, the evil one himself, is judged. See, sometimes we'll think, what do I have to do to convince this person to yield their life to Jesus Christ? You can't convince them. You can't convict them. But you can flat witness to them. You can testify to them. We'll talk a little bit next week as part of next week's message on the potential Holy Spirit in your life. And you will see how the Holy Spirit can work in your life and can change your life and impact others through your life. God's mission. He involves us in it. Tell you something. One last thing I want you to see, though, is this: is you say, "Well, how do I know I'm on track with the Lord?" One last word I want you to see of what He does. Verse 14 of chapter 16, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit, He will glorify me." That ought to be your last encouragement. Not only does He assure you as God's children, not only does He bless you with God's truth and involve you in God's mission, but He guides us. He guides us for God's glory. You see, our ultimate question needs to be this. Our ultimate evaluation of ourselves isn't ultimately, hey, how many friends come friend day? Ultimately, our evaluation is that what we want to do, we want to be involved in God's mission, and we want to do the part He's called us to do, the inviting, the investing, the introducing. But understand this, we have one undying question, and this is it. Are we glorifying you, God? And that's why I close with this. Our attention is paid towards this. Following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead us. Because the Holy Spirit is going to guide us for God's glory. Holy Spirit is going to guide us for God's glory. Got home from traveling for work late Tuesday night. Plane landed. I was hungry, so I got something to eat. So when I got home, I wanted to sit up for a little bit. Jennifer and the kids had already gone to bed. It was right around 11 o'clock. I turned on the news. Turned on the TV, and they're right on Fox News is in Chile. We're in Chile, and I'm watching on 5-minute delay. The capsule has just arrived down in the bottom of that hellish pit of a mine where these miners have been trapped for over 2 months. And I see, dressed in blaze orange, step out of the capsule, the rescue worker. And the rescue worker is greeted, and he goes over and he begins to comfort and counsel and encourage and to help those trapped miners. And then shortly, he gets the first one in that capsule. And those paramedics, they raise that first trapped miner from that grave that was waiting for them. Raise him up to breathe fresh air and to see the light of day. Experience that new feeling of life and reunion with family and friends. It made me think of this, that God has sent His very Holy Spirit into this earth to rescue us from our discouragement, from our sin, from what would ultimately be the pit of life. And He rescues us, and He comes alongside of us, and He comes even in us to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. So understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Next week you'll see the potential of this Holy Spirit living within you and what He aims to do in your life. I hope you'll join us for that. But I want to do something right now. As the worship team's coming up, we're going to sing a song in closing for our time of worship. And as we sing the song, I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Jesus talks about, well, if you know me, you know the Father. And if you love me, you love the Father. And I will send my Holy Spirit, and He will come and dwell within you. Well, do you know the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Have you offered Him your life and surrendered to Him and put your faith and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior because of what Jesus has done for you? Have you done that? I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you're Lutheran, Mennonite, Baptist, or whatever. No, I'm asking, do you know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior? Well, if you don't, I'm going to encourage you. You can have the opportunity right now in this service to know the Holy Spirit is working in your life, and the Holy Spirit is determined and desires for you to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sing this song in a moment, you can just step out right during the song. Just step out and just come forward. I'll be here. Brother Mike will be here. Others will be ready to help pray with you, to talk with you, to encourage you in your faith in the Lord Jesus. Maybe you want to become an official part of this church congregation. You come forward. We'd like to talk with you about that. We just need to know what God's doing in your life. Maybe right where you are, you want to pray for that friend you're going to really focus in on investing in this next few weeks. Maybe you won't even wait for November 7th to invite them. You're just going to bring them next week. As you sit with your classmates and as your friends, as you drink a cup of coffee, as you drink a soda, as you're at the ball field, as you're at work, know that God is at work in you. God is at work in you. You're His temple. You know what the temple does? The temple was to show people that God's presence is here. That God is at work in this world, and that God hasn't said, forget you, world, I'm moving on to a new planet. No, He has chosen to make men His dwelling. May the Holy Spirit encourage you this week. May you know that it is the Spirit of Christ within you as believers, and He will make you stronger. Father, move among us, we pray. Help folks here not just to brush off your word today, Lord. Help them to accept Scripture today as your truth to them. Work in our hearts, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together, unite your voices in song. You come forward if we can pray for you, encourage you. Thank you. lives within you as believers, and to go out into this world and to serve Him for His glory. So I hope you leave this place today not with a sad look on your face. We ought to take turns every now and then, Pastor. Every now and then I have a special chair and let you every now and then just come and just let you look at each other and know this. When you leave this place, know this. You ought to be encouraged. God lives within you. The world waits to see a person who really, 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 really has God living in you. You have God living in you if you're a believer in Jesus. So sometimes it's kind of like we put that light under a bushel. But if you're encouraged today, you're God's people. That's why the Bible says this. Listen, the Bible encourages us with these words, and I want you to leave knowing this. Now to Him, who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. All generations. Forever and ever. Amen. Go. God's in you. God bless you.
So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher.